conference is being recorded.
Hello, this is Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International Association, and we're starting our Module 7 call, which will focus on marketing and a number of topics. So welcome, everyone, to the call here, and thanks for sending in your assignments. You all, we're doing a great job with the ideal client exercise and the exercise for kind of your elevator speech saying what you do. So fantastic. And also the chapter questions. So just wanted to talk with you today. Today we're going to be talking about a number of topics: marketing, how to get your name out there, how to use YouTube and all the social media tools that we have available to us now to market to athletes of various sports, and also how to get testimonials from your clients, which is really important to build credibility. Also be able to work with your website, your blog, Twitter, Facebook, all of those kinds of things, article marketing, video marketing, all of those things can really help with exposure for yourself. Also, we'll talk about the coaching contract, pricing, how to establish your prices, timeline for your coaching session, what to do during the coaching session, and how to handle client objections or questions that they might have. And want to talk a little bit about client engagement, how to get your client involved, and also a lot of free coaching tools that are available to you. With there's just so many available right now. There's just more and more all the time. And then just talk about a little bit about your sales system for coaches, how to get people into your funnel from doing free coaching or consulting to being able to do high paid consulting as well. So I think TJ, you asked the question about, just jump right into that. You were saying, I'm hoping we can talk more about marketing, how to market to athletes doing sports that we don't do. I think you said, like my interest in working with tennis and soccer players. I haven't played tennis in years, have never played soccer. How do we make ourselves look like we know what we are doing? So, yeah, great question. Why don't I just address that right away. Did you, TJ, did you say you used to play tennis?
I played tennis a lot in high school, and then, I was on the team and everything, and then I sort of stopped, but I still love the game, and I'd love to get back to it, and I have a couple clients who are tennis players who I do massage with, and then we also have a new Major League Soccer team in town called the Timbers, and I just think I'd really love to work with them. It's a great game. I love watching it.
Yeah, is that a
don't play? So
it's a Major League Soccer.
Yeah, team? We just got Major League Soccer this year, so very exciting.
Great. So so they're professional players, so that would be fantastic. Yeah. So one of the things I'd suggest is, just a number of things. One is, go to their, where they gather. If it's, tennis players, go to, get as much information as you can first about the sport, what's happening right now, kind of getting up to speed on it. So, for tennis, you can go to tennis clubs. You could go to, for the soccer, go to their soccer games, talk to the players if you can afterward or beforehand. If it's major league, one of the things I do is to get, if there's a, a major game, get a media credential. You can do that through, go to their website, get a, go to the section that says media and see if you can apply for a media credential for your, you don't have to be you don't have to be on NBC or a major media outlet, just say that you're, a reporter for your, for your website, for your, say you have a TV show, online TV show, on your website, something like that, and you'd like to interview some of the athletes. That way you can get in and really talk to people there. you know, for you're working with runners too, right, TJ?
Yeah, that's mainly runners and triathletes are my main focus
too. And yeah,
and that I do. So
you're okay with that, yeah? In terms of reaching out, in terms of doing the mental training with them, also, you know, just in getting more clients and letting them know you do that aspect. Now you could go to you know, RRCA, Roadrunners Club of America. I mean, they're very organized, of course. Runners are amazingly. They've got all kinds of stuff going on. Like, for instance, this weekend here in San Francisco Bay Area, they're having the state meeting of the RRCA. I just found out about it, so I'm going to go up there just to network with people and do a talk you know, get some speaking engagements. Bring, you know, when you go, always bring your cards with you or brochures, and then find out how you can be of help first. It's always good to give before you ask for the sale or ask for the, you know, ask for something from them. So, yeah, Nicole, same thing with you. If you're going to, you know, hockey games and all, you'd want to go to, you know, go to their organizations, go to where they hang out, and you know, try to interview players and just talk with them, get to know the sport, get to know the lingo. So that's one way to just get to know things. If you don't know what a term means, they'll probably come across, you know, like in soccer, if you haven't played, you may come across certain terms that that you know you don't understand, or you don't know what it is. It's best not to ask what it is. I found, because that's like you were saying in your question, TJ. What if I? How do we know what we're doing if you haven't played the game? I found that you know, if they come across, you know, they're giving you some terms that you don't know yet, just write them down, think about them in your mind. And then later on, just look up that term on, you know, Google or on YouTube or search for it, and then you can find the answer that way. So it's better to do your research for the actual, you know, terminology on your own, but then actually get to know the players and get to know what they're doing, what they're talking about, and you know, with Google, just you know, do a quick research, find out what's happening in tennis, what's happening in soccer, and then on your blog, on your website, then start commenting on the different things, what's happening in that sport. That's another way you can attract people from that sport, is that you know, for instance, someone just called me the other day and said, oh, I saw that you know, you had equestrian listed on your website as some of the people that you work with, so I thought I'd call you. So I hadn't thought of actually putting the particular sports on there, but if you list the sports that you work with in your articles, use them in keywords, you know, at the bottom of your blog, put them in the titles of your articles, that sort of thing, then you know, you can tweak them very easily. Let's say you've got an article for top 10 tips to, you know, to focus in running, and you can just simply change that to top 10 tips to how to focus in tennis or in soccer, and then just change a little bit of the terminology so it matches that sport, and then all of a sudden you've got an article or a few tips that apply specifically to those athletes, and so that group of athletes is much more likely to read that article since it's focused toward them. So, does that kind of make sense? TJ, Nicole, you guys?
Yeah, that helps. Yeah, that helps a lot. Yeah, I'm kind of thinking now where I want to. So is that easy to get a media credential?
It depends on the event.
I write a blog and I want a media credential?
Yeah, it depends on the...
Wow.
It depends on the event. If you're at the Olympics, obviously, that's the hardest place to get. You have to start 2 years early and be in a major media outlet to get to the Olympics, get a credential. But if it's a local game of some sort, then it's much easier. Usually they really are looking for media people. And you could, you know, say you have an online e-zine, you know, online magazine, something for your and give it a name, and most of the time they're you know, if you just apply early, they're happy to give you a credential. They just want to be able to know that you've got a physical location, that you have a business, that sort of thing, and you're well established in your business. So, yeah, that would work, I think, really well for you. Yeah, that's how I got to know Stacy Jagila, who won the first ever Olympic gold medal in the pole vault. Was she was just giving. I heard that their Stanford University here was having a track meet, and so I went to the media folks, and probably since the runners, you can find out who's in charge there with running and to get media credentials, and you get to know the people in the sport. And so I just asked, who do I apply for a media credential? And then I just applied and I got one. And yeah, then I was able to, it's amazing. Then all of a sudden you're in, you can go in, it's like having a backstage pass to an event.
Wow.
So yeah, you can go in and talk to the athletes beforehand and right afterward. And yeah, at the time, all the top athletes were right there at Stanford. So I got to interview, and I was writing my book at the time. You can also, if you're writing a book, like you guys were talking about e-books, so you could, say that you're writing a book on, and start one anyway, with, with on mental training or on, the focus, the connection between mental training and massage, and the mind body connection. So and that you want a media credential for that. So that's a good way to get one too. So yeah, just need to start maybe a couple weeks early before an event kind of thing. And then you might like the soccer games. If you get a media credential, it might get you into all the games or several of them, not just one. So that's a really great way to go with getting into games. You can also, just in terms of learning more about the sport, watching on TV and YouTube, watch tennis games, watch the soccer games. Nicole, you can watch hockey games and, for Christo, who's into squash, you can watch, the squash games there. And congratulations, by the way, Christo, with your countryman, Charles Schwartzel, who just won the Masters golf tournament. That was pretty major. I think it's the first time, it's been a long time since a South African, maybe the first time since a South African has actually won the Masters golf tournament. So that was exciting. And, an idea for all of you, if Christo and for TJ and for Sue and Nicole and Dr. Collier, if you have a sport you're interested in, let's say like this guy Charles Schwartzel just won the Open and the Masters in golf. And so that's the big deal right now in South Africa. So, Christo, you'd want to be writing about that even if you don't know the athlete, you can still be an expert by position yourself as an expert by writing about his success and what made him so successful. You can go back and look on YouTube at the replays. You can listen to what the commentators are saying, because often they're talking about mental aspects of the sport too. And then have your own spin on that. Just comment on what it takes to be a champion. And there was that another guy in the Masters who went from 9 strokes ahead to, he just totally lost it and ended up, 10 strokes behind everyone else in the game. And so that would be a great topic to write about, how someone can go from just being so far ahead to so far behind and losing it mentally, losing your confidence, and that, what that athlete could do to improve for the next time, or how you would work with someone like that. Take whatever's going on in the news. TJ, if you see somebody that's doing well in tennis, even if you don't know that athlete, you can write about their what they're doing and what you would do to improve, help them improve their sport. So, does that kind of make sense to everyone?
Great. Here? Yeah, thank you. That helps a lot.
Yeah, good. Oh, good, Nicole. I couldn't hear you before for some reason, but now you're back.
Yeah, the call keeps going in and out, so.
Oh, okay. At least on the recording here, it's recording the whole thing, so you can get the recording later too. Yeah. So the but also you can interview athletes. You can TJ, you could be with running events. They always have volunteer massage people afterward on massage teams, and you could combine the two. You could do the massage, be a volunteer there, talk to them. You know, if you could get to do that for soccer, that would be very cool, huh? For the
that would be
the professional games there. They're probably always looking for that sort of service, and then you could talk with them about the way that you train athletes mentally as well. Give out your cards and ask to interview them as well. And then interview coaches, Nicole, you were asking before about how to get involved with hockey, and if you could find a coach that you could interview, then that will help you to get connected with them and also just to learn more about the sport and also to position yourself as an expert in that area. So interviews are great. Then you can, with that interview, you can display, you can use it in many ways. You could text, you can make it into an article. You can repurpose it so that you have the text. You could also then, when you're interviewing someone, if you can do it by phone and you record it, you can use Audacity to record it. Now that you guys know how to use Audacity, you can record the calls, and then you could have it as an audio interview and put that as an MP3 file on your website. And you could also do it as a video, as a YouTube video. All you need is one picture, one photo of some sort. It could be a photo of you, could be a photo of you and the athlete, or one photo of you, one photo of the athlete on the other side. It could just be one PowerPoint slide of some text that you show during that, and so they're looking at that while the interview is going on in the background with the sound. And if you've got just one visual of some sort, one slide, one picture, and your voice, then all of a sudden you've got a video, and you can upload that to YouTube. So that's a great way. Of course, you need to get their permission first, to do the interview and all to use that. But interviews by default are public, and so you can use that, but just it's good to make sure with them, check with them anyway. And then you can do another thing you can do is free consults for someone in that sport, like if you want to get to know someone in tennis. Of course you don't want to do tons of free consults, but maybe just a one or two to get started so that you understand the sport more and understand their issues, what their frustrations are, what their fears are, and what their desires are, because that's what people will pay for, and that's what they want your services for. So if you can do a free consult for a couple people, one for tennis, one for soccer, one for hockey, or one for squash, to get to know the sport and say that you're doing this as part of a, just to understand the sport or part of a research study, then that will give you more information about exactly what's going on in their mind, so that you can then you can use that, write down what you learn, and you can use that as, say, develop some bullet points that you could put on your website under your Performing Edge Coaching section there, and that would be great. And I think that'd be a really good idea. A good exercise this week would be to have you think of some ways that you could develop a little page on your website to talk about this, your Performing Edge Coaching. And when you get certified here, then I'll give you that the seal as well, the Performing Edge seal that you can display there, and you can have just talk about. That's a great place too. You can put testimonials from athletes. If you do a free consult with someone, then what you can do is get a testimonial from them as well about how it helped you know, just even one session, you can, it's sort of an exchange, doing a free consult with the understanding that they would give you a testimonial if it's helpful for them, for your services. And that way, once you have a testimonial for somebody in that particular sport, that's very powerful. Then it gives you credibility in that sport as the expert. And quick note about testimonials, I was going to talk about, while we're on that topic, a formula that I use for getting great testimonials is, first, if you're working with a client over time, it's better to get one sooner than later. Mistakes a lot of people make is they wait till the very end, the final session, to get a testimonial. And I don't know, the athlete might not be in the greatest mood that day, or, you know, might have had a bad result or something, might have had a bad game. And so usually after they've had, if they've had a bad game or something didn't go right with their training, they're not really wanting to talk to anybody for a little while about what's going on. And so it's better to get a testimonial after they've had a good result of some sort. It could be just an initial, you know, after you've done the first MP3 file with them and they've been they've gotten a lot of help, then you can get a testimonial then. And you can just, you know, it's better to get it sooner than later so that you make sure you've got something from them. It could be something very simple. If they're, you know, long distance away, you could get them to just write something on text. If it's somebody that's a very famous athlete or something, they oftentimes, they're very busy and they don't have a lot of time, so you could write one for them and say, here's a sample, you know, testimonial or sample quotation, I like to call it, and see if does this fit with what your experience, and feel free to edit this, and then let me know if this is okay and send it back, or give them three choices. That's a really good way with people that are very busy or very well known, let's say a professional athlete. If you're working with one, you'd want to give them like three choices and say, here's three choices of different comments. See if any of these fit for you, or feel free to edit one and just let me know if this would be okay. So that's a simple way to get text testimonial. Text is good, and audio is better. Video is the best. So strive for the best one that you can get. So if you can get something in audio and do a phone interview with them and have them say something, then that's even more powerful. That would be great. And if they're in town, close by, then what I'll do is, let's say if they're coming to my office here, then I'll have, you know, we've had several good sessions, and they've had, a runner had a really good race, then I'll bring my, have my video camera there and just ask them, would it be okay with you if we did just a quick little comment from you on video about our work together? And I've never had an athlete say no. They're usually very happy to do that. So that's a good way to get that. And I have a testimonial release form that I use for athletes too, for people, and I can put that up on the in the members area there. That's if you'd like to use that, where they give you, you know, written permission to use their testimonial. That's always good to have that written permission on file as well. So we've got testimonials. Oh, also with testimonials, I wanted to give you a formula to use for a testimonial is a problem, solution, results. If you can think of it that way, ask the athlete to tell you about what the problem was beforehand, what they came to see you for, and then what was the solution? You know, what did you do for them, or what kinds of work did you do with them that helped you? Maybe it was the visualization, MP3 files. Maybe it was just coaching them and mental training, some of the different techniques that you used. Whatever it is that they did to help you, to help them. And then the third area is results. You know, to try to have them say, what it was that they improved on specifically. And the more specific, the better. You know, I went from being, you know, fifth place to, you know, first overall in my last race, tennis. I was able to improve my strokes and just to be more consistent in my tennis games, or if it's soccer, was able to play my position much better, and you know, we won the championship, or you know, hockey, being able to be more consistent with my playing style and just shooting right into the goal more easily, that kind of thing. With squash, you know, I just was able to have more endurance on the court, and beat one of my best opponents, that kind of thing. You want to get something specific from them, if possible. And then with regard to formats for testimonials, there's a couple different ways you can do it. You can do it solo style, where you just ask them to say their name and their credentials, you know, their best performances, and then what they did, you know, that problem solution results formula. And ask them to say, you know, I've been working with, and ask them to say your name, like TJ, say, you know, ask them to say, hi, my name's John Doe, and I've been working with TJ Ford for, you know, the last several months, and I got, you know, I had this problem with my with a lack of focus, and now I've been working with her for say 6 months on doing various visualization training and mental training, and now I just feel a lot more confident, and I'm relaxed and able to be a lot more consistent in my games. That kind of thing would be a sample testimonial, or an interview style would be another way to go. If someone is a lot of times younger athletes have difficulty, they're great athletes, but they might not be great at communicating, or they might be a little shy when it comes to talking into a microphone, or knowing that they're being recorded. So you can just ask to do a quick interview with them, and just ask them those same questions in an interview style. So saying, asking them, so what, yeah, John, what did you come, tell me what your initial concerns were, the problem that you came in for, and ask them that, and then ask, what did we do together that was helpful? And then ask them, and what was the results afterward? And ask them to just answer those questions. So it's more of an interview style. And a lot of times you get a very relaxed and more personable kind of testimonial that way. So, that's a really good way to do it. And I was going to give you the resources that I use for when I do phone interviews. There's a box called JK Audio. It's made by a company called JK Audio, and it allows you to hook up your phone so that you can record both the caller and yourself. And it's called Innkeeper PBX Digital Hybrid, and it's kind of a long name, so I'll put it in the members area there. But it's made by JK Audio, and it's a Innkeeper PBX Digital Hybrid, and it's a little box that you can hook up to your phone that makes it so that you can easily record phone calls. So that's some techniques for doing your testimonials. By the way, right now I have it in the calls in lecture mode. Let me just open up the lines here to see. Does that make just open up the lines? Does that make sense to everyone here? How to do testimonials?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah. Any questions about that, or how to get? I don't know if you've gotten. Have you gotten any at all? Either of you with your work? I don't know, TJ. Have you worked with different athletes and gotten testimonials from them?
Yeah, I haven't gotten any testimonials yet. That's one thing I need to
Move
on.
Yeah, that's great. And even if you're just doing work, you know, for free with people too, Yeah, it's really powerful, and it makes a huge difference. So that's something you can easily get up on your website. So I'd encourage you to do those. And get them as soon as you can, right, while you're working with the person or right afterward. It's like that, you know, I got that letter from that one client I was talking about who just got the girl who was on the Olympic team as an alternate for the last gymnastics Olympic team, and then she got a full ride scholarship to Stanford. You know, that was phenomenal. And I called right away as soon as I got that letter or email from her and congratulated her and then talked to the mother and the child and asked if I could just get a few comments about our work together. And so she was happy to do that. So it connected our work together. You know, of course, a lot of factors went into being able to get into Stanford, but it just is huge. Then other parents could see, wow, if this is the kind of result I could have with my child as well. So a very powerful kind of thing. I wanted to go back now. Let me go back into lecture mode here. If you want to, and if you want to ask a question, just press *6 on your phone. So we've got testimonials, and then I was going to mention, you know, some other things with TJ's question about marketing and how to get players from specific sports. You can do blog posts about them, like I was mentioning. Put it on your – do a special web page. You could do have a section on your blog for each sport that you want to work in. It's another idea. So have a tennis section there, just one page. You know, so you don't have to do a whole new website just for each sport, but you can do just a page for that particular sport. Write, you know, you can tweak your articles so that, you may have already written articles for runners, and then you can just, change them a little bit so that you so they apply to tennis, and then again for soccer, and then that when you have those keywords in there, then athletes are much more likely. People are going to find those articles much more easily when you're using, especially WordPress as your blog. Then the search engines absolutely love blogs and they love new content all the time. So. And I wanted to mention the important way to use your keywords like tennis and soccer and hockey and squash. What you want to do is in the title of your article, you want to you want to think of it like you're writing for two sets of eyes. You're writing for the human eyes. You know, people, and then you're also writing for the search engines, for their eyes. And the search engines usually look at the first 3 to 5 words of the title, and they pick up on the first 3 to 5 words of your body text, you know, the actual text of the article, and the first 3 to 5 words of, you know, each of the paragraphs. Down in the top, in general, the words in the top third of the article, as well as, of course, the keywords that you put at the bottom, those tags that you can put on when you're doing a blog. So you want to think about a title. Like, let's take, for example, can you think of a title that you would use for an article on mental training? Let me just open up the lines here. So let's try that once. Pick out just think real quick about an article you might write about, training your athletes. What can you think of a quick little title that you might use? You guys, TJ or Nicole or Sue, can you think of one and just kind of blurt out a title of some sort?
Well, you kind of mentioned top 10 ways to, you know, stay focused,
uh-huh.
I think, something like that. Like, I like the idea of a list. That seems like it's a pretty easy thing to write.
Yeah, exactly. Right, that's good, yeah. So, top 10 lists are great. So, the actual content of the article can be the top 10, top 10 mistakes people make, top 10, ways to focus, like you say, top 10 tips from TJ, from Nicole, from Sue, or it could be...
Do the search engines like when you do that top 10 ways? I don't know too much about search engine optimization, but is that something that they'll kind of focus on, or is that kind of overused and we should try to think of something that's more unique?
Yeah, you want something that is... That can be the actual what you write about in the article. In terms of the title, you want your keywords to appear in the first 3 to 5 words of the title. So let's say if you want to attract tennis players, you'd want the word tennis to be in the first 3 to 5 words of some sort. Or psychology, if you want to talk about that, or mental training. Mental training for tennis, say, or something. You want to put like tennis, maybe tennis, you know, then semicolon, or tennis psychology, semicolon, top 10 ways to improve your game in tennis, something like that. And then it's good to the last word of the title. You want that to be a keyword also. So if you want to attract tennis players, make that word tennis, make sure that's right up front in your title. And then also, if you can make it also the last word of the title, that helps a lot to have your keywords come up. And of course, you want to switch things around so it's not always the same. It doesn't sound as if you can, you know, have it sound as natural as you can so that you're writing for both sets of eyes, so it sounds good to humans, and it also gets picked up by the search engines. So it's a balancing act of both of those things. And then also the first words of or mental training might be, you know, one, or confident, build tennis confidence, you know, colon, how to, top 10 ways to improve your confidence in tennis, something like that would be a good title for a search engine, and also would be something that would appeal to, you know, a reader, right? And so then also with the body of the text, when you get the first words of the text, you want those to also be three, you know, say, you know, tennis, confidence in tennis is something that I always get asked about. So there you'd have, make sure that tennis is within the first three words of the of your first sentence. And then you can talk about, you know, here's some of the problems that I see with clients, with tennis players. We're going to talk about how to deal with those. So here's 10 ways to work with that. So Zach, you kind of get the idea
mm-hmm.
how to do that?
Thank you.
Yeah. So it's, you want to think in terms of, always having a good way think about keywords, a good way to find out what keywords are people searching on. You want to do it's a quick way to do some keyword research. Just go to Google, and then put in Google search keyword search tool. In Google, you can just search on that term, Google keyword search tool. And it will take you to their tool there that's free. And you can just type in all sorts of different phrases or words that you'd like to use. And then just see if people are searching on those. And you'll find a huge difference. You know, like performance is huge. You're probably, you know, 13 million people a day or something, or 100 million people a day search on performance, but the problem is that is very broad, and performance could be for anything. Could be for sports performance, with all the Viagra out there. It could be for male enhancement performance, and then you want to narrow it down to, say, sports performance. Those are really good keywords. You'll find. So just kind of get an idea of how many people are searching on a on a word, and if you find that, there's getting very few searches then for something, then, you may not want to use that. On the other hand, if you find a word like just performance, where there's millions and millions of people searching on it, then it's best to narrow it down to what kind of performance you're talking about, so that you don't so that you get more of a targeted audience looking for your words. So that's a really valuable some tips on how to do the keyword research, and then how to include those words in your article. And those kinds of principles apply to every kind of work that you do in the social media field. So, because search engines are looking at all those things. So if it's a blog post in your, for your website, for your blog, again, start with keywords that you want people to hear. So rather than saying the top 10 tips to improving your sport, improving your tennis, then that title would not get picked up well by the search engines, because your keyword isn't till way at the end. The first five words is just the top 10 tips, which is too generic. So, yeah, and the same thing so applies to keywords when you put them into your Facebook posts, Twitter, and also YouTube. You want to use the same principle with those kinds of things. So, that leads into another couple of things that I wanted to mention with regard to, how to attract tennis players or golf or soccer or golf, or a particular sport that you want to attract athletes. Use those keywords, and use them also in, let's say you're going to do a Twitter. A tweet on your Twitter account. You want to just put in the same kinds of things. Tennis tips or tennis psychology tips, : how to improve your swing or how to improve your serve, and then put a link to your website. So that'd be an example of how to do a Twitter, how to use Twitter. Also, same thing with Facebook. And with Facebook, you'd want to, there's a search box at the top there. So if you know of other tennis players, just search on tennis. And then you could add those people as friends on your Facebook and account, and put a note. You can put a little comment first and just tell them who you are. There's same thing with Twitter. You can go search on, say, tennis or soccer or golf or hockey, and then follow those people. And a lot of times you'll get followed by, organizations. With Twitter you can get listed, which means on the right-hand side it says how many people are listing you, like various magazines or clubs. And so if you can get listed, that means by a group, that means every time you post a tweet, then it's going out to this large list. Let's say you got listed by the New York Roadrunners Club. That's like, I have no idea, 50,000 people. Wouldn't that be nice to be on their list?
That'd be great.
Yeah. So you can, even if you really want something like that, call up the New York Roadrunners Club and ask them, who's the person in charge of Twitter, and they'd like to be on your list, or, be friends, follow each other on Twitter, and then send them, follow them and let them know who you are. And so, it's a great way to get your name out there that way. Do you guys have Twitter and Facebook accounts? TJ or Nicole, do you have accounts on those?
Yeah, I do, and I'm following you on Twitter, actually.
Oh, okay. So, great.
So,
yeah.
I just retweeted your stuff about the new coaching class that you have coming up. So,
oh, thank you.
I've been doing that every couple of days. So, yeah, I don't love Twitter, but I know I have to use it. So I'm trying to get with it, but it's hard to remember.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. But there's a tool, I'll put it in the members area, that makes it a little bit easier, too, to do automate a little bit of it, too. Thanks. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you about that. And if you, so that's great if you're doing the, if you're posting something about the course. Do you put in your, do you have an affiliate link, did you say, TJ?
An affiliate link.
Or, you know, that affiliate, the link where you're, it links back to you, so that you're, if I think I put it on the bottom of the email there this time, with that's where you can partner with me. And
Oh yeah. I don't know if I have that on. I mean, I did that with you a couple weeks ago, but I don't know. Can I do that on Twitter somehow?
Yeah. So let's see, because I don't know if I got the, if you did it correctly, I'll send you email about it just to make sure. But yeah, so did you fill out, you can just click on the link, that sign up link.
Yeah.
And you did that?
Yeah, I did that.
Okay, and just filled in your information?
Yes, I did all that, yeah.
And then did it send you a link?
I think it did, yeah, but I haven't done anything.
Okay, so you sure you have that link then?
Right. Yeah, I think I do.
So if you do, or I can email it to you again if you need it. And then what you do is you just take that link and you can put it everywhere, on Twitter and on Facebook. And I know it's a little bit long. With Twitter, there's the 140 character thing. Right?
Yeah.
So you can shorten it. You just go to like tinyurl.com. Or I can do it for you, and but it's tinyurl.com, and then you just put your link in there. It's free, and then it just shortens it for you, so it's real short for Twitter. Yeah, it's really handy that way. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Or there's BitURL.
Oh,
yeah, then you can put it in on Twitter and Facebook and on your website. And a lot of people like to, you know, if you get your own, you can get your own. Domain name, you know, let's say Performing Edge Coach Training or something, you know, similar to the link or whatever you want to call it, or something with your brand name on it, then you can, you just go to, like if you have it under GoDaddy, you can just have it forwarded to your affiliate link. That way you can easily say the name too. You know, just go to Performing Edge Coach Training or whatever your you decide you want your domain name to be, and then it forwards there, and then have it forwarded to the link, and then it's easy to just say that name to people too, or it's something that's actually, you know, written out. So that's another technique too. So yeah, that's a thanks for getting the word out there. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
And well, and then anyone that's interested in the course, you can just, if you give me their name, then I'll be happy to follow up with them, and I'll always keep good track of that and make sure that you're the referring source, so that you know, you get commissions appropriately. So yeah, that's great. So we can be good partners in that way. Some other things that,
yeah.
Yeah, that sounds great. Some other things that you can do is with Ezine Articles. Have you heard of Ezine Articles? It's a way. It's a free article directory. So it's Yeah, it's ezinearticles.com, and it's a great easy way to just any articles that you have. They can be short. I guess they have to be 250 words to 500 words, and so they can be just real short articles that you submit there. So then you have your article up there. It's something like number 15 or number 17 on, of all the search, of all the websites. It's huge in terms of how many, the number of views that it's getting. People search there for articles all the time. And they have categories, so you can put your article under sports or under tennis, under soccer, you know, the specific sports, so that your article gets picked up by the search engines there. And then when people are searching on, you know, tennis or tennis psychology or mental training for soccer, then their articles will be there. your article will show up. So, and then right at the bottom, you have your, what they have a special resource box. And so in that resource box, you can just put your, put a link to your website and or a special offer, or if you have some coaching, or let's say you have an ebook that you, a free ebook you want to give out to build your list, you can put that right there. So yeah, it's exciting. That's a great place to put your articles too. And so there's that's article marketing. You can also do that for, you know, just put your articles anywhere that, you know, if you could find a way to once you get to know people in tennis and soccer, you know, find out what they're they all have online websites and newsletters. So yeah, you could go there and find places that have. You know, they always need content, so, and usually most of them don't have anything on mental training, so, or sports psychology, so you could offer your content in those areas, top 10 tips. And if you can get a regular little gig, so where you write for them, you know, once a week or once a month, then you can, and it does, you don't have to think of it as extra work, because anything that you write for them, you could also put on your own blog. Just have an arrangement that you can use it yourself, so it's something you'd be doing anyway, and you just write it. It's getting out there to that targeted audience. So you could become the tennis and soccer expert, kind of thing. So yeah, so that's great. And then another idea I had for you is for all of you is video marketing, and with videos. They're a lot simpler than you think. We'll talk more in depth about them next time and in our ongoing training about how to do videos. But they're now with, everybody's got a video camera on their phones built in there, as well as, you know, the very small video cameras that we all carry around with us. You can take the video camera and just basically film yourself giving three tips or so. And then you can and make sure you put your keywords in the title of the video, in the written title if you have one there, and also in say those keywords first, because the search engines actually pick up on the words that you're saying now too, the verbal words. So if you can say, this is about mental training for soccer, for golf, for mental training for squash. You can that'll get picked up by the search engines. And then here's a little script that you can say, a sample script for videos. Something like this, hi, let's say if I was doing one, I'd say, hi, I'm Dr. Joanne Dahlketter at drjoanne.com. Or I'd say, hi, I'm Dr. Joanne Dahlketter at performingedgecoach.com. And I know you're here to find out about, and then you'd say your keywords, whatever that is that they may be searching on. Like, I know you're here to find out about mental training for running, or mental training for soccer. And here's three quick tips for you. And then you give your quick tips about what someone can do to help their performance. Or for healing, or whatever it is you want to talk about, and then say, and there's a lot more tips and coaching and more information at my website at performingedgecoach.com, or whatever your website is. So you can say it right, so you give your name, your website right at the beginning, and then you say your keywords and give your three tips, and then say your website at the end. And I've had a lot of success with that. In fact, one of my videos right on there, if you go to Sports Psychologist, go to YouTube and search on Sports Psychologist. I think my video is either number one or number two right at the top there. And you can see the way that I did that with five tips for visualization. And that video's gotten over 17,000 views now. So it's very popular because it's just real simple, gets to the point, gets people like it and pass it around a lot, and also they get it gets picked up by the search engines. So that's a great way to get your name out there for those areas. So So those are some ideas with regard to... That was a long answer to your question, TJ. Lots of tips for how to do the... How to talk about marketing strategy, how to market to athletes doing sports that you do or that you don't do, and powerful stuff. So now I wanted to go go into a little bit about the kind of a sample timeline for the coaching session. Just a quick note on that. Some people were asking me about, you know, how, let's say you have a first session with someone, what should the, you know, is there a sample sort of timeline? And you can be flexible and adjust the length and of that and each segment to your own style. But I think during the first client session, I think the key is to avoid doing not only just an assessment, but also do some form of actual coaching or treatment during the first session. So you want to provide to the client a sample of what they'll actually get from you and why they should return for a second session. So let's say the first session, you know, an example would be the first 20 minutes or so, I would just really connect with them and do an assessment, and they'll tell me about their what brought them to coaching, to Performing Edge Coaching, and what the issues are for them. And so I just do a lot of deep listening and intensive question asking, and get as much information as I can. And then for the next 15, 20 minutes, I would do actual coaching. I'd give them some feedback and tell them about some techniques and strategies they can use. So I would not only just be getting information from them, but, you know, giving them some examples of what it is that they could do. You know, like if someone's having difficulty focusing, maybe I'd give them a focusing technique right there. And, you know, like a thought-stopping technique where they, let's say, if they have a lot of negative thoughts coming in, they talk about how they can just... breathe out all the negative thoughts, and say, they can even say to themselves the word stop, you know. And I sometimes tell them, do some physical action, like put your hand on your thigh or snap your fingers, or some people put a rubber band around their wrist and they just snap the rubber band, not to hurt themselves, but just as gently to remind them to, you know, that they need to switch their thinking. Do a mind shift, and then take in a deep breath, and then breathe in the thought that they want to, something they want to be thinking. You know, a quick technique like that, that can go a long ways to, you know, if you actually give them something right away that they can do, a golden nugget, then that will keep them in the session and keep them wanting more from you and position you as a real expert in this area. And then the next 10 minutes after that, I might say, tell me about a peak experience when you felt strong and confident, and give me all the details, the play-by-play. And so I would give them that, you know, do like the pre-visualization assessment. And then the next 15 minutes, I'd do the customized visualization for them and record that, 10 to 15 minutes. Or if it's a younger person, then maybe 5 to 10 minutes. Doesn't necessarily need to be real long the first time. Just kind of a sample of what you can do. And then leave the last 10 minutes for getting the response and experience and reflections from that visualization. So you want to give them time to let you know what they experienced and kind of go through the post-visualization assessment there. And then set up a program for them, give them some ideas of what you'll be doing in the next sessions and goals, and give an assignment for the next session. So that would be... also, you want to provide encouragement and positive feedback for them, and you'll say something like, based on what I see here in our session, I think you know, with your strengths, and name two or three of their strengths, you have a huge potential to, you know, to, and then say what their goal is, what they're shooting for. And you want to give them a takeaway of some sort, some assignment to do, article to take home. Or if it's by phone, you can email them the article. And then if it's in the office there, you can give them an actual CD of their own visualization, you know, write their name on it. Or if it's by phone, you can email them the MP3 file right away. So that would be an example of a first session, kind of what I would do with that. Any questions? I'll open up the lines. Any questions about that with regard to the first session?
So you generally spend like an hour and a half if it's an adult?
Wait, for first session?
An hour and a half?
Yeah, it depends on the person. I would say the first session I'll generally tend to go longer just to get build a good rapport with them, and I can generally, you can charge more for the first session too if you want.
Right.
Yeah. So sometimes I'd say an hour and 15 minutes, or an hour and 20, or sometimes an hour and a half, I'll be a little bit flexible for that first session because I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. Because they might be coming in with a lot of crises or trauma, something, a lot of stuff going on, sometimes it takes a little bit longer to build a rapport with someone. But then after that, I'll generally do sessions after that, 50 minutes to an hour, by phone. It's really flexible. I think each person's, you can set it up differently depending on what the way that you want to set up your coaching. Some people do half-hour sessions, kind of thing, you can do, had good results with that too, half hour or 45 minute sessions. So it's good to experiment with what, with your clientele and with your own style and see what works for you the best. Yeah, with your massage, TJ, do you usually do them in hour segments?
Well, actually my first session is an hour and a half always. And then we decide to do if we want to do hours or hour and a half after that.
Uh-huh.
So I guess I could probably do the same sort of thing with this.
Yeah, and you can have different time, different pricing structure for half hour or hour. I can talk a little bit about that. Some people do like a group of coaching, group of sessions together or individual. What I started with, I'll tell you my story in terms of how I set up my pricing, and this is just one example, and you could do anything that might work for you. I started out, I think, several years ago, and I just, I think I charged $75 for an hour session, and then increased that to 95. Actually, at the time, I was starting with just half-hour sessions, and that seemed to work well. Since I was, it's better to start with a lower price as you're kind of getting your feet wet and getting well known. And then I moved it up to an hour and 25, $125 an hour. And then I moved it to 45-minute sessions and charged, a little bit more, 125, and then 150 an hour. And then I realized that having a monthly program would be better and have people more committed to the program. So I charged $600 for a month, and so I had good success with that. So then I started getting, more people calling, and, as you get more people coming in and more, as you get more well-known, then you realize that you're more in demand. It's like a supply and demand kind of equation. You can raise your prices. So I raised my price to $7.95 per month for four, that included four sessions. And it's four sessions, usually once a week, but if someone's in a real tough spot and they need more, then it can be just I can do sometimes two sessions a week, and that works. And so it's the $7.95 covers four sessions, whether it's in a month or whether it's in two or three weeks, depending on when they use up their four sessions. So I was doing fine with that. And then I thought, well, I'm getting, you know, lots of calls. I'll try raising my fees to $9.95 a month. So I did that a couple of years ago, and that's been real successful. So that's what my current fee is now, but I may raise it higher than that. So it all depends on the market and what kind of response you get. If you're getting resistance, you know, then and not getting as many calls, then you could try lowering the fee. Or if you want, one option is to lower your fee and just do less time, kind of thing. So it just depends on your market and where you are. In the San Francisco Bay Area here, people tend to be, in the area that I'm in, it tends to be a little bit more affluent area, so people are willing to pay more. And it depends on what sport you're in. If it's certain sports tend to be, you know, like equestrian and tennis and golf, people are willing to pay more. They're very serious about their sports, and the sport itself requires a lot of money to just get involved in, so you know you're dealing with a higher income bracket of people. So just depends on what sports you're involved in. And I think a lot of it has to do with the value that you bring to the and the confidence that you bring to your profession. The more confident you are, and the more you know, athletes that you have, the more testimonials you have, then and if you can do some video so that people really get to know you, then I found on my website people say they go to the, you know, the drjoanne.com site, and they click on TV show, and there's a whole range. I've got 25 videos up there now on YouTube, and people really get to know me very quickly, so that helps a lot to bring in people. So but at first you may want to just do an introductory session itself. It's easier for people to get them in the door if they're doing just one session to kind of get to know you, and then you can go to a monthly fee after that. That's another way of kind of structuring it. There's many different possibilities. I don't know, with you, TJ, you're doing the massage. People already know you through massage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they could you could then move them into the mental training area. You already established a relationship with them, so that's great. Were you thinking of a certain way that you could do the pricing, or the sort of how you could work with them in both realms, whether it be
I'm still trying to work that out, because for massage I only charge $75 an hour.
Uh-huh.
And so this is obviously, you know, it's a little bit more. So I'm not sure. Maybe I could give my current clients a discount or something. I don't know. I haven't really thought about the pricing. I was waiting to hear what you had to say today on it, and if anyone on the call has any suggestions for me, I'd be happy to hear them.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good. Yeah, and I'll ask if you have suggestions for TJ and for other people that you know, anyone else that has ideas on pricing, that would be great to just email them to me, and then I'll put them in the members area there too. You could do, charge a certain amount for the massage, and then say if you'd also like me to do a custom MP3 file for you, that's an addition. I can do that at the end of the session for you could start out with maybe an extra $50 or something like that, or $75 or mm-hmm. something like that. Right when they're already there in the office, it's easier to just do it with them as an extended session kind of thing. Yeah. So that's an idea, as opposed to them coming back for a separate session. So, you could do have one fee for massage only, and then a second fee for massage plus MP3 file, plus visualization kind of thing. And then, which is a good way to get people sort of interested in what you're in the mental training area, and then you can move them into you know, more mental training, performing edge coaching with you. Say you have a monthly package of, you know, 4 mental training sessions, or, you know, performing edge coaching for a certain amount for, or if they're used to paying you $75 for a massage, they might be willing to do, yeah, $75 for extra for mental training, for, you know, 4 sessions of that, and you can decide how long they'd be, whether they're half an hour or 45 minutes or mm-hmm. for 50 mm-hmm. minutes, that kind of thing. Yeah. Or one thought for you also is if they, you're doing massage with them and for an injury and then they get better, whereas you might think normally a massage therapist, after they get better, they think, oh, geez, now I'm losing the client because I got better. But with you, you could say, now that you're actually, yeah, we've gotten you better physically, now it's a good time to focus on the mental part of your performance. Since if they're an athlete and they're getting better physically, then they're going back into their sport. So that's when they need to focus on the mental part. So you can say it's like kind of like a part two of your of what you provide. So they go from the massage right into mental training, the kind of another component of your training. So it's a way to get to have your clients, you know, continue paying you for your for a different level of service. So yeah, just some ideas for you.
Yeah.
That way, yeah.
That's a lot of ideas. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Just yeah, a lot of brainstorming. So that's yeah, that's great. So all kinds of things that you could do, and that's the case for a lot of people I know. Sue Hasker is doing healing, and you know, you could break it into different components with you know, being able to. She also does grief work, I think counseling work for that. So with the grief work, you know, you can have someone go through. Sue, you could have people going through that grief program first, and then once they're sort of more healed from the whatever the loss is, from a death or a grief, sometimes it's loss of ability to function with their body if they've been in an accident. Once they go through that, then they can also go into a phase two of mental training to be able to improve their performance in life to move forward. So yeah, you can always think of this as kind of different packages. Think about like going to a restaurant, you know, where you have a menu, a menu of items, and you know, you can choose the entree, and you can choose the salad or the dessert. All these different things that you choose from a menu. Same thing. And like if you go to a spa, you know, I had the opportunity to speak at this incredible spa down in San Diego where people pay $10,000 for a week. It's just amazing. And I got to be a featured speaker there for a week, and I got to experience one of the premier spas in the country. And they had the Your Performing Edge Week and gave everyone a copy of my book. It was really a great experience. And I got to see, you know, like on their menu of all the different treatments, you know, in a spa treatment. It was amazing. To go out for a hike, to go on a private hike with someone was $125.
Oh, my God.
Is that funny? To have someone go hiking with you. Is that crazy or what? Just a private hike, 120. I mean, you and I could do that for free.
Wow. So we're really a bargain. I mean,
yeah.
You actually get to talk to me for an hour for $125.
Yeah. So, in fact, that might be a good price for you to think of massage, yeah. and get to talk to you for $125. They're performing edge coaching together to do a package deal kind of thing. Yeah. So if you can think of it like a restaurant, like a menu, Or like those spa treatments, yeah, just, you know, manicure, pedicure is this much money. All these different things that people do. The more different services you could offer, the better. Assessments, you know, that could be another thing to be able to, you know, do kind of, I'm going to go this weekend and learn about more, some techniques on athlete profiling, how to be able to, you know, create a profile for your athletes. And I'm creating one myself that, I'll, as soon as I get that done, I'll put it in the members area here too. Yeah. How you can, you know, athletes, people want to know, you know, what they're, want to get rated on all kinds of things. So, yeah, the possibilities are endless in terms of different services you could offer. And then even just within the visualization area, there's all the, you could have visualizations for, you know, for peak performance, and then you can have ones, you know, for, well, just for visualizing your success, for, you know, using your, you know, creating a picture of a past performance. You could have a visualization for power words, for, you know, how you speak to yourself. So using the words that you say to yourself. You can have another visualization for healing, that which really goes along with, yeah, if you're doing massage, something that, if you're doing massage to help their body, oftentimes, you know, like when I've gone for a massage for with my sports therapist, I'm always asking them, a sports massage therapist, I'm asking him, well, what can I do at home in between to help me get heal faster? Athletes, that's a great thing. They're always proactive, right? They want to heal faster. And so massage therapists will say various things, yeah, stretching, and, you know, I could do this cross-fiber massage and various things for my legs, whatever it is. But then what if you could actually, you know, yeah, say, here is a, we can get you back to your peak performance a lot faster if you actually use this, we create this custom healing visualization MP3 file for you, and you, if you listen to this every night before you go to sleep, you know, what you listen to, what we're thinking about before we sleep tends to be what we dream about. So you can, you know, be, if you play this before you go to bed, you have those healing thoughts in your mind, then your, yeah, your mind will be thinking about that healing. Your subconscious mind could be actually working on healing those whole 8 hours while you're sleeping. And wake up, I mean, God, what a powerful thing that would be to be able to, you know, have 8 more hours of healing going on while you're sleeping, because you've given yourself that intention and, you know, those healing thoughts and healing visions right before you went to sleep. So they can get much you know, if they heal much faster, they'll have a lot more better results. And they're going to be telling a lot more athletes about you and referring other people to you, you know, for your services, because you're, you know, making such a difference, you know, so quickly. So, yeah, and it's a great way to prevent injury in the future, too. You know, some, I think people are worried that, oh, geez, if I get somebody to health too quickly, then I'm going to lose the client. But if you, but if you can think of it another way, if you can make such a great result with them, usually, for number one, you can continue to do mental training with them on all kinds of issues. So even if they get better physically, you know, you can still keep them as a client for doing other mental issues. People ask, well, geez, you know, like the client that said, you helped me through the marathon here, focusing for that. Now could I use these, can you help me use these same mental training techniques to help me pass the bar exam for my law degree? So they, or to get, you know, get, yeah, to perform better in my, into my work or my next, the next level of my training. So, yeah, it's very powerful what you can do with all these things. And then they're going to be referring a lot more people to you because they had such a great result. And that's a wonderful thing to get. Those referrals are golden. So that's the thing that you want to work on. Also, all of you on the call here is being able to build up a referral source from your athletes, from coaches, from doctors, sports medicine physicians, from just local people, as well as globally. Think of it as referrals from all over. With mental training, you can do this with anyone in the world. So you can get referrals from different organizations, sports organizations. So just a lot of brainstorming here today with all different kinds of ideas. any other thoughts or questions that come to mind? If you have anything that comes up.